Welcome. This is the November 18th meeting of the Housing Policy Committee. I am calling the meeting to order, and I will turn to Amanda to bring us up to speed on getting started.
Welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting, though we usually don't actually follow that rule in this committee. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff click raise hand when you are asked a question, and the chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. I don't believe we have any members of the public registered to speak, so Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Would you please do a roll call for us?
I'll do that. Chair Allen.
Here.
And we know co-chair Aylesworth is excused this evening. Jillian Hayes.
Here.
Mike Tarby. Laurel Nowak. Alder Ohowitz.
Present.
Hannah Renfro.
Here.
Alder Matthews. I think Alder Matthews is just joining. Alder Matthews.
Here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, our next order of business is approval of the minutes from October 23rd, 2025. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Alder Ohowitz. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Tarby. All right. I'm not sure if I should read this or not, but members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code at this point. Seeing none, new business. Or sorry. First item is actually public comment. Number one, I believe we do not yet have anyone registered as of now. Can staff confirm that? And we're not
Yes,
seeing.
not for public comment. I do see some new registrants for, actually no registered speakers for items either, but correct. No one registered for public comment.
Great. Thank you so much. Moving on to new business, agenda item number two, amending sections of Chapter 28 of the Madison General Ordinances relating to housing and auto-oriented uses in the Transit-Oriented Development Overlay District. This is Legistar number 90552. I believe we have a staff presentation.
Correct. We'll have a staff presentation that covers items 2 through 7, and Colin Pont is prepared to give that.
Great, thank you so much.
Right. Thank you very much, Chair Allen. I need to move my screens around 1 second.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the commission tonight. I'm going to go over, as Heather had noted, items 2 through 7. on the agenda, which includes a number of housing forward ordinances proposed and will be considered by the Common Council in December. These ordinances, and there are several, kind of fall into three different buckets related to the strategy for increasing housing choice. The first for pursuing code and process changes to support more missing middle and small scale housing, simplifying the zoning standards for infill housing, and implementing our adopted plans through the zoning code, and then looking for ways to make the subdivision process simpler to create more lots for more homes. So the first of these are some changes to the transit-oriented development, the TOD, as I will continue to say, which would allow 3 and 4 unit buildings as permitted uses in residential areas. This would be all residential zoning districts within the TOD overlay. It would be especially relevant in existing residential areas on the west side, the north side, the east and south parts of Madison. The change to the zoning would allow property owners to redevelop or to add units, but any redevelopment would be up to that property owner to initiate. We have a map here showing the transit-oriented development overlay district in that kind of light tan, and then the darker orange indicates the properties within that overlay district that would newly allow up to 4 unit buildings if this ordinance was to be adopted. The second change is an update to standards for drive-through facilities. When the TOD was adopted, there were a number of requirements put in place for drive-throughs within TOD. Those were amended and added to about a year ago. However, we are now proposing another amendment to the ordinance, which would require that future drive-through facilities within the TOD overlay be in buildings that are at least 3 stories and buildings that cover at least 60% of the lot area. The existing drive-through facilities within the TOD would not be impacted, but all new drive-throughs would need to meet these new requirements in addition to any existing requirements. So the image here is of a building at Cottage Grove Road and Monona Drive, a drive-through completely under a multi-story building with homes above. These 2 photos are from a building serving a pharmacy, I believe on Willie Street on the left, another multi-story building with homes on the upper stories, and then a multi-story building on East Washington Avenue with a mix of businesses on the lower floors and homes above, with a completely enclosed drive-through in that building. Another change to the TOD would be limiting certain auto-centric land uses. So, again, this would prohibit new, specifically new uses, and these would be standalone surface parking lots. This would not include accessory parking lots serving a building on the same site. Those, as long as those meet the other design requirements of TOD, they would still be allowed. So it's only standalone surface parking lots, car washes, and auto sales and rental businesses. As before, existing facilities and uses won't be impacted. This as far as car washes and some of the other auto-oriented uses. There are a number of design requirements in TOD, but they are still allowed under the current ordinance. However, within the TOD overlay, these are perhaps not the highest and best use. And so while existing facilities would remain, new facilities would not be permitted. And then in addition to those TOD changes, there is a recommendation for what we would call proactive rezoning, changing the zoning designations of the five sites that you see on the screen to support the plan recommendations. These are recommendations that came out of the West Area Plan and the Northeast Area Plan. The change of the zoning would encourage additional mixed-use development, which would include housing, to as the zoning districts would change to some of the more intense mixed-use districts within the zoning code. The purpose is to support the development where it can benefit from the high-frequency transit within the TOD and align with some of the adopted plan recommendations, again, from the West Area and Northeast Area Plans. So this first site that you see is on the west side, near Whitney Way University and Old Middleton. This would be a rezone to regional mixed use. And this site includes the triangle formed by University Old Middleton and Whitney Way, as well as the Red Cross site adjacent to the State Hill Farms office building. The second site is also proposed to be rezoned to RMX as recommended in the West Area Plan. This would be at the corner of Gammon Road and Mineral Point Road, a number of parcels that are adjacent to the stormwater ponds and open space in that area. This other west side site is also along Mineral Point Road and was recommended in the West Area Plan for rezoning to RMX. And this is in the University Research Park, directly south of True Stage. And then these three sites proposed to be rezoned to RMX are implementing a regional mixed use land use designation, which is the mixed use designation that we use for the areas that are intended to be developed at the highest intensity in the city outside of downtown. So then moving over to the east side, within the Northeast Area Plan, there were recommendations for community mixed use in two locations. And so this site on Lean Road is recommended for rezoning to Commercial Corridor Transitional, CCT. This is an area of lots along Lean Road in front of the shopping plaza that includes the Target there on Lean Road. So that would be a rezone to CCT. And then we have another recommended rezoning also from the Northeast area for this location along East Washington Avenue in Lexington that would also go to CCT. Again, there's not an anticipated development accompanying these changes to the zoning, but it does allow development of mixed use and more homes in accordance with the recommendations of the plans. And then I'm going to turn now to an ordinance that would permit a new housing type in the city, which we refer to as cottage courts. Cottage courts are a development on a single lot or a collection of lots of small homes organized around a central open space. So this would allow the development of property in residential zoning districts to create up to 8 homes, each limited to a footprint of 1,000 square feet. These homes can be developed on a single lot under single ownership. They could also be developed on a single lot and sold off as condominiums, or it could be developed on individual lots, smaller lots that are created from a single larger lot. As I noted, they would be organized kind of around a shared open space. They would include or can include a shared parking area, but would not be able to include individual garages or driveways. It would also allow for a various arrangements of the houses around a courtyard, a variety of architecture, flexible ownership options. We're trying not to be too prescriptive with the way that this zoning change would require these cottage courts to appear. For next steps, there was already a community information meeting. I'm sure some of the members of the commission or the committee have seen that meeting and that recording, which is available on the city's website. We are now considering these at the Housing Policy Committee, which will make a recommendation to the lead commission, the Plan Commission. Tomorrow, the TOD changes, Legislative ID 90552, will appear before the Transportation Commission for their recommendation as well. Then in December, this will go to the Plan Commission. The Plan Commission is the lead review commission, and they will make a recommendation to the Common Council, who will consider these ordinances on December 9. So I think we can open it up to questions or discussion if that is the will of the committee.
Thank you so much, Mr. Punt, for that presentation. Yes, I'd like to turn to my fellow committee members and see if there are any questions. There's a person maybe not on mute who might want to be on mute. Okay, are there any questions? Oh, Alder
Sure.
Ochoa.
I'm so sorry. Before that, we do have a registrant wishing to speak on item 7.
Oh, thank you for breaking in. Okay, great.
Yeah, sure thing. We have and we have a couple other registrants willing to answer questions on item 2, and so I just wanted to mention them now so that members could ask questions of staff or registrants.
Should we?
On item, I can mention their names now, and then we'll have the speaker for 7 if you'd like.
Perfect, thanks.
So on item 2, Jeremiah Schwarzenska is registered in opposition, available to answer questions, representing Midwestern Wheels Inc. And Joseph P. Bartol is registered neither in support nor opposition, and available to answer questions, representing Midwestern Wheels Inc. And then on number 7, Alex Saludos is registered to speak, and so he could speak now for 3 minutes if. Oh, I can keep the time on that.
Thank you so much. Mr. Saludos, would you like to make a
Thank you,
comment?
Madam Chair. Is this working?
Yes.
First, as a courtesy, I want to speak to 7, but before I do, you start the clock. I'd like to express my support for all of the rezoning changes to the ordinance. Regarding 7, I don't have some prepared remarks, so it'd be a little rough as I go through this. In principle, I strongly support the concept of cottage courts. However, as written, I think there are some issues that you would want to address before moving forward with it. First, my reading of this is attached garages are not allowed. And based on my brief research of literature in other municipalities, it's common to allow attached garages in cottage courts. In fact, one example is Pleasant Prairie in Wisconsin. Being a practitioner and involved in residential real estate for 40 years, in this market, this particular product, which would appeal to active adults, empty nesters, and seniors who want to downsize and who have a very strong preference to stay in their neighborhoods, this would be a great product for them that not only gives them better housing that's better fit for their lifestyle, but will free up other owner-occupied housing for the market, except there's no attached garage. And in this market, if I were a developer, I wouldn't want to risk building a cottage court without attached garages, knowing how the market responds to those. So I encourage you to reconsider that, and also that you ask staff to bring you some examples or do a survey of what's done elsewhere. The common open space requirement needs to be clarified. The way I'm reading it is that 400 square feet is required for the cottage court, not per cottage court dwelling unit. And the standard of practice I've seen is it's 400 square feet per dwelling unit. And I'd like to see that clarified in the audience, in the ordinance. I don't think 400 square feet, if that's the intent, is enough for the 8 dwelling units. For implementation and be successful with this, I can't emphasize enough that if I can't tell from reading this if there are any approvals that are quasi-judicial. Does somebody have to go to the plan commission? Do they have to go to the council to get these approved?
Here, that's the 3 minutes, although folks may ask questions of registrants.
All right. Do you want to give me more time or do you want to cut it off there?
Could you finish your thoughts in 1 minute?
I'll do as quickly as I can.
Okay, thank
if
you.
If at all possible, I'd write the ordinance so all of the approvals are administrative. And I think other municipalities have done that. It raises the costs and makes it harder for smaller builders and developers to do these with the quasi-judicial approvals. And then also, I don't see any parking requirements. If you have a single family home and then you put 8 dwelling units and say, just hypothetically, everybody's got 2 cars, what are the off-street parking requirements for that? And I'd like to see that clarified. There are other things like if there's a primary structure existing, that the new dwelling units, the cottage court units, must be compatible with that. If there's a surface parking lot, they commonly require screening from the street for that surface parking thing. I'll write you a memo with, you know, more detailed.
Hey, that's time.
Yeah, more detailed analysis. But those are a quick high-level look at the ordinance.
Thank you so much.
And Chair, there in the meantime, there was one other registrant who's willing to answer questions in support of item 7, James Worker, representing Viridian Homes. And okay. I think that completes the registration list at this
time. Okay. Thank you so much. Perhaps I could ask all of the committee if they have any questions of any of the registrants.
Can I ask a question for the city about something the public commentator said?
Yes, please.
For the cottage situations that was referenced in the PowerPoint on East Wash, kind of by the Kohl Center, that one, I forget where it is exactly. That one It seems to have parking, and could the city explain what the parking situation is there? Because it didn't seem like there was a desperate need for a parking garage over there. It seemed like it was kind of figured out. So I assume there would be similar sort of spaces for a future one.
Sorry, can you
I can repeat myself.
I'm unsure at the location.
Yeah, sorry, not East Wash, West Wash. My apologies. By Harvey House, Kohl Center, across the way, there's the cottage. It's the photo that you show in the deck of the cottage situation where they're red, blue, yellow. That location, how is parking resolved there? I can
I
pull up the
think so. I
address.
think, sorry, if I might just jump in, committee member, are you referring to the new development that's directly across Regent Street, from like the Kohl
Yes.
Center? So the colorful buildings, like where there's a
Yes.
mural, et
Sorry.
cetera.
I
Okay.
was in
Okay.
West Wash, but
Yep. No
Regent
worries.
is.
It is West Wash. Yeah, West Wash and Regent. So, just for clarity, the pictures that we included about cottage courts were not from Madison. So, those were all examples from other places. And I think that development probably is not really like fitting the. I'm sorry, let me back up. That development does not fit the scale of what we were envisioning with the cottage court. So that includes some multifamily buildings, some attached housing, and other housing types that kind of look like cottages, but it's a much bigger scale development than what we're talking about. And does provide some parking more in like shared parking lots on the site.
Thank you. That answered my question.
Thank you so much for the question, Ms. Nowak. Are there any other questions from the committee of any registrants or staff?
I have a question for staff.
Please go for it. Thank you.
So pertaining to the registrants' concerns about attached parking not being permitted, could staff share some alternative options that developers might be able to pursue for on-site parking if it can't be an attached garage? Are there alternatives?
Yeah, I think if a cottage court was developed as a single entity, the easiest thing would be a small surface parking area shared amongst the residents. It could also be a detached garage, a shared detached garage, a multi-stall garage. It would be very likely that that would be owned by all residents in part. If it was a condo, it would be a common area, and so the condominium instrument would take care of repair and replacement of that as well.
So it could be like a similar shared resource to the courtyard in the middle, in the same way that that's like accessible to all of the occupants. And
Yes, definitely.
So there would be an option for covered or enclosed on-site parking, even if it's not directly attached to
Yes.
a cottage court dwelling. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Are there other questions from the committee? Oh, Alder Ohowitz, please jump in.
I think you might have just answered this question, but you could have, if we had like eight cottage courts, you could have a separate structure that is like eight attached garages. That's like sometimes common at some like smaller condo associations, where you have like a separated garage structure.
Yes, I believe the ordinance would allow a separate accessory parking structure.
Okay. And then I wanted to ask about one of the rezonings. And it's admittedly not totally related to the rezoning. It's more about the West Area Plan. But for the one that is the current Hill Farms office off of University, Do you know if in the plan there is a call for a connection between the Seago Road bike lane and the I forget the name of it, the bike path that's on the other side of that building?
I am not sure. I don't know if I recall that. I can certainly take a look at that and follow up with you, Walter.
I could admittedly look at the West Area Plan too. Just it came up in the presentation, and so I thought. And then I was wondering if you could. One of the registrants talked about the 400 square foot open space requirement being total for all college courts, and that some municipalities have 400 square feet per unit. Did you look at that, and could you just comment on that quickly?
So, go ahead, Colin. I don't know if you want to
No,
address this.
I was gonna let you.
Yeah, so just to clarify, I think this was one of the questions that the speaker asked for confirmation on, is that it is intended to be a single courtyard. It's not intended to be a ratio per dwelling in the court, in the cottage court. That's intended to represent what we see as a minimum shared open space. I think with some of the other details of the cottage court standards in terms of how many homes could be incorporated within a cottage court and for like the front doors of those cottages to face the court, means that it could be bigger than that. And certainly as you get more homes, it's likely that it would become much bigger than that. So this is meant to be just a minimum standard and a minimum dimension for that, to make sure that it is not achieved by space within setbacks or kind of edges of a shared parking area. It's really intended to be that sort of shared space. However, we didn't want to over describe how that court comes together and in some way limit the flexibility for how these cottage courts could be arranged. I'll let Katie chime in if there's anything else.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify an area within the setbacks, the yards around the perimeter of the lot, they could be the courtyard area as well. You could kind of double dip in that way, but it couldn't then be used for parking space. But it could be, yeah, garden or whatever else a yard can be used for.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see Alder Matthews, your hand is up. Please jump in.
Thank you, Chair. I had a question for the changes with the TOD, and if this isn't as related to the purview of this committee, I could ask these questions offline or come to one of the other committees too. But could someone maybe give just like a really quick overview of what would be considered a new business, like for one of the things that will not be a permitted use with this change, for like an existing business that does have one of those uses, is there any kind of scenario where they could end up being considered a new use, in their existing area? Or are there other, you know, just if there's like a really if an easy definition of what's a new, use, I guess.
Katie, do you want to take that?
Sure, yeah. So zoning codes have something called a lawful non-conforming use. So over time, zoning codes can change. A use that may have been allowed previously, they don't want allowed it in the future. There's still a legal protection called lawful non-conforming use, and there's, you know, state statute around this too, and laws. But basically, you can continue that use. There is a limitation on how much you can kind of invest in the overall. Going to actually pull up. It's 50%, I believe, of assessed value. So there are some limits on like how big of a future addition you could do. And these should be major structural things, not things like updating a bathroom. That's not going to count towards your assessed used value, but major additions to a building, structural kinds of things. There are limitations on how much you can improve your property. And also, you can't cease the use for more than 12 months. So if you have one auto dealership, auto sales use, and they leave, and it's 13 months or 12 months and a day, and a new auto dealership, new auto sales use wants to move in there, that would not be allowed. But they could temporarily cease the use in that 12-month period and kind of restart it again. It would still be considered part of that lawful non-conforming use where it's allowed to continue. That answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
So
And
I think,
then
like said the opposite way, like if somebody didn't already have a business in this area, wanted to start a brand new car dealership, for example, that didn't exist already in some form, that's probably what we're talking about here.
that's what I thought, but that really helps. And then I guess with that is I think I had seen that a body shop could still exist, but all of the work has to be inside of the building. Is would that apply as well for like a service center, like something that was just to be doing work on vehicles but wasn't selling them? Or is that a whole separate category?
Yeah, it is considered its own separate use, auto body shop. And there are some regulations about that that apply to the entire city today, including where auto repairs can take place in the building. That's not proposed to change at all within the TOD overlay.
Okay, so like a service center, that would be like an auto body shop. That's all. Okay.
Yeah, now we know some auto dealerships also have a service center. Okay, well, if you're doing auto sales, you can't do that. You can't start a new one in the TOD overlay, even if it includes a service center.
Yeah, but like an existing
Standalone, even
could
a new
potentially
one.
have a standalone next to it that is in the TOD or something. If they, not
Yeah,
that that's the
its own.
plan, but if it was fully standalone. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Matthews. Are there any other questions for staff or registrants? I actually had one for staff. The drive-through component of the first proposed change to our ordinances, I was wondering if staff could just explain the main purpose of that new proposed way to frame the rule. Are we hoping that any drive-through is a more dense development? Is that the fundamental goal there?
Yeah, I would say the fundamental goal is that the TOD overlay is supposed to encourage development that is supporting and supportive of transit. We have on in the code right now specific design requirements for drive-throughs that is supposed to achieve this goal. We have found that in many cases applicants want a standalone drive-through that does the very bare minimum to meet the requirements in the code and often does not achieve those overarching goals of the TOD. And so the change here would try to encourage the development of those higher quality buildings with more homes, more fully utilizing transit in these areas to be allowed to have a drive-through as well.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. Okay, one last call for questions. I seeing none, I would like to turn to Ms. Stouter and ask, do you recommend that we take these agenda items up individually for discussion or discuss them all as a group? Oh, I'm
Chair.
sorry, Alder, I didn't see your hand.
Okay. This is for both you and I think Heather Stouter, but I think there were some amendments that were added to the presentation. I was wondering if we wanted to talk about that those before
That's a
we
great
move.
idea. Could we have a staff summary of the amendments?
We could do that, or oh, actually, Megan.
Yeah, I was just going to offer, Chair. I mean, we're ready for either way you might prefer to proceed, but we have two amendments each for two of the ordinances. And so I think what staff was prepared to do is if you'd like to take up those ordinances one at a time, we can introduce the proposed ordinance amendments when you get to that ordinance.
Okay, perfect. In that case, why don't we take up the first ordinance, which was agenda item number two. And please share with us the amendments for those ordinance for that ordinance. Thank you.
Yes. I will need to share again. All right. Is the amendment showing up here? Yes.
Yes,
Okay.
that looks great.
Yes. So the first possible amendment is to Legislative ID 90552, which relates to the TOD overlay. This is a request from Alder Tischler that in the University Hill Farms National Register Historic District, within the underlying residential districts that in the TOD would newly allow 3 and 4 unit buildings, that those 3 and 4 unit buildings be reviewed as a conditional use rather than allowed as a permitted use. The rationale being that it would provide more oversight of the change potential changes within the National Register Historic District, and that amendment would include a text change as well as an additional map to identify these areas in which the 3 and 4 unit buildings would require conditional use review. The map here, you've already shown this, showing the residential properties that would include the 4 unit buildings. The historic district is entirely enclosed within this red box. And this is the area outlined in yellow here that would be subject to conditional use approval. This here is Whitney Way. The street down here is Mineral Point Road. And then this would be Regent Street here. So that is the first one for 90552. The second is a request by Alders Ohuwitz and Figueroa Cole, which would allow auto rental businesses within the TOD overlay. The rationale being that allowing auto rental close to that high quality transit service supports car light living for people that have no or few vehicles. This amendment would separate auto sales and rental into two uses in the code, one for auto sales and one for auto rental. And this would be applied to all use tables for all districts in the code. And then for the proposal, it would pro and in the prohibited principal uses, auto sales would remain as a recommended prohibited use, with the removal of auto rental. And those are the proposed amendments for 90552. Would we like to move on to the other legislative items? Otherwise, we can pause here.
I think we should pause here. There's a lot of content so that we can stay focused. So I recommend that if a member of the committee is interested in sort of making a motion so that we can open the discussion on 90552 and the associated, can we do that with the associated amendments at the same time? I'm asking Heather Stouter if that's all right.
Sorry, I think Chair, at first, we may want to just get a motion on 90552, and
Perfect.
then we can discuss the amendments and whether we want to incorporate them into that.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a motion on the proposed amendment of this of the general ordinances for 90552. Do we have such a motion? Chair, are
I
you
saw
seeing the
Julia's
hands
hand.
raised?
Yeah, Colin, maybe you could stop sharing your screen just for a second so she can see all the videos.
I see Alder Matthews' hand up. Alder Matthews, if you'd like to make a motion.
Sure. Move to adopt 90552.
Thank you. And do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Alder Ohowitz. Great. So now we can discuss that motion and the associated amendments, I believe. Yes, is that correct? Please jump in if I'm incorrect.
Yeah, we can
Sure.
discuss this motion. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Heather.
Oh, it's okay. So the motion is to recommend, basically recommending this ordinance amendment to the city's plan commission, and there's a second. And so now there can be discussion on this motion and the amendments that that Colin just presented. We would need to have a specific motion to amend the ordinance for either or both of the items that Colin discussed. And so this is something that you haven't dealt a whole lot with, but basically right now we have a live motion on the floor, and you could create a sort of a nested next tier motion that would accommodate one or both of the amendments. And then we would bring a vote, come to a vote on the amendment, and then back to the main motion. And if there are any follow-up questions, please feel free to ask us.
Thank you. We will look to your expertise throughout this discussion to keep us on track. So thank you so much. I see several hands up. Alder Ohowitz, would you like to weigh in?
I think the others were
Oh, I'm
first.
sorry.
Was
I don't have an order here.
okay. I think the others were first. I'll let them go first.
Ms. Nowak, would you like to speak? I see your hand
Yes,
up.
I'll be fast. I just have a question for the alders. I guess only one of them's here, who proposed this amendment. I get that this is would be like sort of on the BRT, so that makes sense and kind of near Hilldale area, give or take, that you'd want to be able to have these thoughts. But the reasoning for me doesn't make any sense unless, we were closer to Epic. Or if we were closer to the airport by me on the east side, where we see most of these, all of the lots for the rental agencies are in town at the Madison. Is there a community desire to have one built over there, or was this requested? Just some more context there would be awesome.
Thank you. And you're directing that question to an alder who proposed that amendment. Please feel
Yeah,
free.
Will's the only one here. Sorry.
Yes, feel free to turn your mic on and jump in to answer that question.
I think that's a good question, Laurel. So this actually did come from a few people who live or who I know who live car free, and they do occasionally rent cars. I wouldn't expect to see like a large new auto rental open up, but I could see like a small scale rental. I do also I had a friend who ran a like car share co-op for a little bit, and it was on the order of like one or two cars. There are some people who rent their cars out on
Like Zipcar, is that what you're looking for, kind of here?
like Zipcar, or there's the it's like it's like what Airbnb used to be, but for your car. I'm blanking on the name of it right now, but that sort of thing is what I'm imagining used here. And I've also been in some cities where like existing parking garages have had auto rentals as an accessory use to the parking garage. So like parts of a floor would be it. Again, I don't really expect that we'll see like many new car rentals, but this was something that came. Again, occasionally.
Thank you so much. I see Mr. Tarby's hand up, if you'd like to weigh in.
I saw Alder Matthews' hand first.
Sorry.
If she wants to, no, no problem.
On Teams, they have an order of hands.
No worries. I have two questions, I guess, for the First Amendment. I think that we saw the Hill Farms one. I just wanted to confirm that the historical the Historic Preservation Commission or board, they review like every demolition for every part. Like they review every single project, right? Basically for historic value. So I would think that if my understanding of that is correct, then I think that that is already going to kind of be looking at any, but I guess if it's only demolitions, maybe that's not enough. And then so I guess I'll ask that part first.
Yes, I will confirm that all demolition applications do get a review by Landmarks Commission if they are found not to have historic interest. Those then are processed administratively. If there is any historic interest discovered by the Landmarks Commission, those are then referred to the Plan Commission for further review of that demolition.
And then, but so that would just be demolition. So if like a single family home was gonna become a four unit, that wouldn't trigger the review, the automatic review by Landmarks.
Not in a national registered di historic district. In a local historic district, the Landmarks Commission would review that. Or if it was adjacent to a local landmark, there's a couple other thresholds, but in a national registered district like Hill Farms, it would not be reviewed by Landmarks.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all that I need.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Alder Matthews. Mr. Tarby, are you next in line?
Think so at this point.
Okay, please jump in.
I think, sorry, I was also considering if I want to save any of this for discussion, if there's a motion to adopt either amendment. I'm ready to make a motion, but I think there's some questions on the table, so I will lower my hand. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hayes, would you like to weigh in?
Yeah, thanks. Alder Matthews, I was looking into the historic district earlier, so maybe Colin can confirm what I read. So it sounds like most of the houses in this area are deed restricted, so that there is an architectural control committee that reviews for approved building plans. So I do think there is some neighborhood control in place on many of these houses. And then also, I was reading about why it was so the deed restrictions, it says, were set in place to guarantee a neighborhood character that would appeal to young, middle class, and professional families. And that when it was the National Historic Registry recognized the art significant for its architecture and significant as a complete planned suburban community whose creation had a lasting effect on the city of Madison. Just so I think this gentle 3 to 4 unit is still in line with what is single working families are looking for and in line with the suburban community, albeit maybe a little bit different than the 1950s suburban community. So I didn't think that these changes would be out of line with that. And then especially if the architectural control committee has that deeper protection, that might cover some concerns with the historic district. But I was reading this in, I think, the Cap Times from 2011. So that's the furthest I looked into that unless anyone else knows for sure.
I guess I will just confirm that, to the best of my knowledge, the neighborhood does have deed restrictions, that do cover that. But I can't say that I am very well versed in everything that those include.
And something that I like to stress every time is the city's not a party in these, and we don't enforce them, so we don't have control of what's in them.
So I want to repeat the year. Sorry, I missed it.
Sorry, what did you miss?
Like the historical year of the building.
I think the neighborhood was built in, I can look it up right now.
It's the 1950s to the 1980s, based on
Ah,
my
got
today's
it.
research. So young in the historic world, but I think it just got in there with some of the 50s stuff. It is an interesting history if you guys want to check it out.
I have a question for staff. I'd like to. Oh, that may have been answered. I wanted to confirm with Ms. Stoddard. So we don't have text of the various amendments handy at this time for the committee to take a peek at while we're discussing them.
That's correct. And
Okay.
so the city attorney's office has been working with some alders who have brought amendments directly to the city attorney's office.
Okay.
And so some of them are in the works. But this evening, if the committee can discuss the amendments, ideally with a motion on the table for each amendment, what they can do then is make a recommendation to plan commission either way. And in the meantime, before that December 1st Plan Commission meeting, the city attorney's office will continue to work with sponsoring alders on that language. And so it would then go more formally before the Plan Commission.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. That's helpful. All right. Are there any hands up that I'm not seeing? Yes. Okay.
Yes. I was going to make a motion to amend our motion to also recommend approval of the amendment to allow auto rentals within the TOD overlay zone.
Okay. Thank you. That's a motion to also recommend the auto rental permission within TOD zone. Do we have a second on that
I would
motion?
second that.
Okay, thank you, Alder Matthews. Would it be appropriate to discuss that motion right now?
Yes, and if I may speak to it
Please
quickly,
do.
I think when Laurel asked me those questions, I think I answered a lot of what this is about. But I think this is generally like it makes sense to, in a strange way, it's better to have car rentals within TOD because it enables car-free living. I've have taken the bus to car rentals or to ironically buy a car. And it being near BRT was very helpful. I don't think we should allow car sales within BRT. They're tend to be very large amount of space, but car rentals, I think, are okay.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this motion to allow auto rentals in TOD?
I'm sorry, did we have a second on the
We did.
motion?
Alder Matthews
We
seconded.
did. Great. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. I think we are positioned to be able to take a vote on this particular amendment. So let's do it Zoom style with all those in favor who are on the committee, please put up your virtual hand or your real hand, and we will take a note of that. Also, I'm going to put up my. And hopefully, staff can keep track of us.
Yes, I can see everyone's hand, I believe.
Great.
Either virtual or real was up.
Great. By my count, it looked like that motion did pass. So that is one of our 10 amendments, our 10 amendments. Good job, everyone. Thank you so much. Let's move on to the second amendment related to this agenda item, which was related to the 3 to 4 units being conditional in a specific area, 3, 4 unit buildings being a conditionally permitted use rather than a generally permitted use. So, do we have, and please, everyone, if you still have your hand up, please take your hand down. Do we have any motion on that amendment?
I've got my hand raised.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Tarby.
Sure.
Your turn then.
A question beforehand. Do we, I guess we've passed now the recommendation to adopt, which also, if someone could clarify, that recommendation is going to Transportation Commission, correct, before Plan Commission, or is the recommendation to adopt just going to Plan Commission as the deciding body?
So thus far, there's been a recommended amendment to the main motion to allow for auto rental businesses within the transit-oriented development, and that motion passed unanimously on that amendment.
Okay.
What we need now is either a motion on the second amendment that has been, informally discussed, or returning to the main motion to move this ordinance forward as amended with auto rental allowable within the transit-oriented development.
Thank you. Then I would. Oh, Megan, did you have a question or comment?
Sorry, I re-raised my hand. Just to speak to your question about who the recommendation goes to. So you are making your recommendations to the Plan Commission, but we will also discuss the outcome of tonight's votes with the Transportation Commission tomorrow when they see this.
Understood. Thank you. In that case, I would like to make a motion on the original agenda item, so 90522, to consider that now that we have already passed the amendment related to car rentals. So if I can phrase that differently, I'm not looking to make a motion on the 3 to 4 unit.
Okay, let's do this. If the chair could ask if there are any remaining motions to amend the main motion, let's see if there are any remaining motions
Are
for the other
there,
amendment or anything else.
thank you, Ms. Stouter. Are there any remaining motions on this agenda item?
I would recommend. I'll make a motion to recommend a Plan Commission to not approve the First Amendment. I don't know if that's in order, or if we explicitly need to say anything on it.
Either way is fine.
I
I
think it
think
might add
either by
clarity.
omission or by recommending against, we can make sure that the recommendation of the body is known to Plan Commission.
I'll make a motion to recommend against adoption.
Okay.
I'll second.
I'm sorry, who was the second? Ms. Hayes, thank you. Okay. So we have a motion on the table that has been seconded to recommend against the proposed amendment to make 3 to 4 unit multifamily buildings conditionally permitted uses in this particular part of the TOD. I believe I've got that right. Let's once again raise our virtual hands or our real hands if we would like to. Actually, I should ask, is there any discussion on the motion?
If I could speak
Oh,
briefly,
please do.
I briefly talked with Alder Tischler about this. I recommend against approving it because we already have Landmarks Commission for demolitions, and I don't like the idea of treating. We already went through a many year process to make all of our historic districts treated the same, And I don't like the idea of creating an additional overlay zone to treat them differently. And like Jillian was saying before, I think Julia, you brought this up, but there's already deed restrictions and they have an architectural review committee, and it just doesn't make sense to me to treat them differently, to treat this area differently.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Okay, let's go to a vote. Please raise your hand if you would like to recommend against adoption of this particular amendment.
Okay, I'm seeing every member's hand raised.
Thank you so much, Ms. Stauder. All right. Thank you to the committee. I believe we're 20% through our amendments. So that's good news. Let's go to the main agenda item of 90522. We do have a motion on the table to consider this change to the Madison General Ordinances. Is there any further discussion on this proposed change to the ordinances? Okay. Yes, Ms. Nowak, I see your hand.
Just to clarify, this is like the 341.
I'm
The
sorry.
can you remind me what amendment this is? We're on
No,
out.
right now we're actually not talking about an amendment. We are talking about the original agenda item of 90552,
Oh, we're still on it.
which makes the zoning changes. But that being said, we've already approved the amendment, which would allow auto rentals tied to this zoning change. Does that make sense? This is a brain teaser. I think we are all working very hard to stay on track here. So, any further discussion on the motion to approve this agenda item, which includes several changes to the zoning code and the amendment we've just approved? Seeing none, I would also like to move once again to a visual vote. The motion was to approve these proposed changes. So please, oh, Alder Matthews, did you want to say anything, or are you just getting ready to vote? Okay, let's go ahead and vote. Raise your hand or your virtual hand if you would like to recommend adoption of these proposed changes to the zoning code for agenda item 90522. And thank you, staff, for tracking our
Okay,
votes.
I'm seeing all hands raised.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone. Feel free to put your hand down. Woo! All right. Next agenda item. Do we have a motion? Oh, we have a little presentation on the amendments, right?
So the next agenda item, this starts the list of zoning changes.
Yes.
Rezonings. And so we have items 3 through 6 that aren't associated with any amendments.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought each one had an amendment. Okay, great. So, I would propose we just take each item up one at a time. Let's take up agenda item 3, as our first step here. Could we have staff just remind us real briefly, agenda item 3, 30-second summary?
Yes, agenda item 3 would be the rezoning from NMX, neighborhood mixed use, to RMX, regional mixed use, for the property at 659 North Whitney Way and 5003 University Avenue, which is the area near University Avenue and Whitney Way, and the Red Cross property adjacent to the Hill Farms office building.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Do we have a motion to recommend adoption of these proposed changes? Mike Tarby, please jump in.
Chair, could I request that we consider agenda items 3 through 6 in one motion? I think they're all very closely related rezonings.
Okay.
And it sounded like from the questions that we had during the staff presentation, that we can of course discuss during that motion any of the individual items, but in the interest of time, I think there's going to be some discussion about the cottage courts, and we've got 20 minutes left, so.
Okay. Appreciate your recommendation. Would you like to make such a motion?
Yeah, I would like to motion to recommend adoption of legislative ID 90553, 90554, 90555, and 90556 to Plan Commission.
I will second that motion.
Seconded by Alder Ovowitz. Thank you. Let's have discussion on these three items, three through six. Four items.
If I could speak to the motion,
Please do.
just real brief. I mean, all of these are enacting the well, at least for the West Area Plan, those are the proposals I'm most familiar with. This is sort of enacting the will of that area plan, and these are all areas which are certainly a very low intensity use at the moment, and I think it makes sense for the city to get out ahead of future development and sort of be forward thinking with these proactive rezonings.
Thank you. Are there any other discussion points? Seeing none, it appears that we may be ready to vote on these items, agenda items three through six. Could I have a vote once again with your hands up if you would like to recommend adoption of all of these items? Recommend adoption to the Plan Commission. Thank you, staff, for counting these.
Okay, once again, I am seeing all hands raised, so it's unanimous.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Fabulous. I'm sorry, I'm moving between screens here. All right, we are on to Cottage Courts, agenda item number seven, legislator item 90557. I assume there are amendments on this agenda item that we should be made aware of.
There are a couple. We could have a motion first if you'd like on the main item, and then we could have staff present the amendments for
Okay, great.
consideration.
Great. Alder Matthews, I see your hand up.
Oh, I was moving to either second or move
You're
to approve
first, though.
amendments.
Would you like to move? Great. Thank you. I do see another hand up for Mr. Tarby. Would you like to second?
Yes, if that was a motion and recommending adoption, I would like to second.
It was.
Okay,
Thank
perfect.
you so much. Thank you, Alder Matthews and Mr. Tarby. All right, we have a motion on the floor to amend the MGOs to create cottage courts. And now we would like to hear from staff about the proposed amendments to this proposed change to the ordinances.
Thank you, Chair. So I can share my screen, but I was wondering since the First Amendment is requested by Alder Martinez Rutherford, if she would like to speak to it.
Ah, right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Colin. A huge thank you to everybody who's worked so hard on helping bring this to fruition. One of the things that I wanted to bring in was the option to have two flats and a mix of units in case that serves The developer or the people who are choosing to build these cottage courts gives them a little more option of how they want to divide and create the space. And it's up to 8 units, so housing units, so it would be like 3 or 4 duplexes if they wish, or however. I just wanted to make sure that people had a greater opportunity to engage in this zoning and way of building that would create community, possible shared ownership, and communal living in a way that I see so many people asking for. So that would be the reason for this amendment.
And then I will also note that we have also put together an exhibit here illustrating what one of these cottage courts with some stack two flats may look like. It's still a total of 8 units, but in 6 buildings.
I will make a motion to recommend approval of this amendment to Plan Commission, or to amend the underlying motion to recommend approval of this amendment.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Well said. Great. Any discussion on the motion before us to recommend approval of this amendment? Let's go ahead and take. Oh, did you want to? Do you want to describe your?
I was just going to thank Alder Martinez Rutherford for all her work on the cottage courts. I know she's put a lot of work in, so.
Great. Thank you so much. Wonderful. I would suggest we go ahead and take a vote on this amendment from Alder Martinez Rutherford. All those in favor, please raise your hand.
Okay, it looks to be unanimous.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We have adopted the motion to recommend this amendment on this agenda item. Let's now go into the main item, unless are there any other amendments that we
There
need to.
is one more amendment, and I can share that as well. In the same spirit, I will allow Alder Ohuetz to introduce it if you would like to. Otherwise, I can speak to it.
I would actually invite Mr. Tarby to speak to it, if you so wish. Otherwise, I can speak to it.
I
You
would
don't have
be
to.
happy to. Great. So in some conversations that I've had with developers in the community, they've of course seen the initial announcement of cottage courts, and we're looking through the initial proposed regulations. And so the way the ordinance or the proposed ordinance stands right now is that the front, side, and rear yard setbacks would follow the setback requirements of the existing zoning district. And from my conversations with those developers, well, before those conversations, that typically ranges from 20 to 30 feet, depending on the residential zoning district. And this would only apply to the sort of periphery of the lot. So this isn't per unit in the cottage court. This is for the cottage court collectively. This setback would apply to the rear yard. So, yeah, the developers that I spoke with said it can be pretty difficult for the plots that they would typically map out, which do tend to be more greenfields development, less infill. So these are like new plots, they're planning new streets. But in that form factor that they're most used to and most comfortable with, it would be difficult to make cottage courts work within those restrictions. And they found that in some preliminary testing that 8 feet was sort of the golden number to allow either a better utilization. So like, maybe not just 3 dwelling units, but maybe you get closer to 5 or 6 or up to the max of 8. Or just allowing something like cottage courts to be put on those lots in the first place. And I'll just share that part of the reason why I was in favor of this amendment and wanted to propose it is that one of the requirements for these cottage court buildings is that they have a footprint of 1,000 square feet or less. That is similar to, or it's the exact same as our requirement for accessory dwelling units, which also need to have a footprint of 1,000 square feet or less. However, accessory dwelling units are permitted to be 3 feet from the rear lot line. So this is the same building form factor, but we're saying it needs to be 20 to 30 feet away instead of 3 feet, would be what's permitted with ADUs. Of course, with ADUs, you can only have one per lot, and this would be up to eight buildings. So it's, slightly, it's a different experience that, would be had by neighbors or surrounding property owners. But I think we'd like to see this adopted in as many places as we can and standardizing that across the board. So regardless of the zoning district, bringing it down to 8 feet, I think makes it more likely that we would see more of these implemented across the city. So.
Thank you for explaining the rationale behind the amendment. All right. Is there any further discussion on the amendment or questions? Seeing none, I would suggest that we can take a vote on this amendment. Do we have, we already have the motion, we have the second. So let's go ahead and raise our hands, those who are in favor of this amendment to reduce the setback requirement to 8 feet within cottage courts from the rear lot line.
Okay, it looks like a unanimous vote.
Wonderful. Thank you to everyone who voted and for those working on this amendment. Okay, I think we're back to the main item here, and we can vote on the cottage courts proposal overall. Or yes, because we've had the motion to recommend and we've had a second. So is there any discussion on the whole cottage courts item that we have not that it remains to be discussed? I do see some virtual hands up still, so I just want to mention that so that we can have a clean vote when we're about to do that. Okay, seeing no further discussion on the cottage courts item, I would also like to ask the committee to vote again on whether they would like to recommend to adopt this change to the MGOs to allow for cottage courts with the two amendments that we have now recommended to adopt as well, which includes reducing the setback from the rear lot line and allowing for duplexes. So please do raise your hand if you are in support of that motion.
Okay, I
Okay.
see six hands raised. Now seven hands are raised. That's okay, so that's unanimous.
Apologies, I was moving mine.
Yeah, I don't know if you didn't hear, but yeah, it looked like a unanimous vote on that main motion.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay.
I was just going to refresh my memory and go back to the agenda and see what was next. Agenda item 8 is business by members for upcoming meetings. Do we have any business from committee members for upcoming meetings that we would like to discuss right now? Or from staff?
I'll just mention that from previous meetings, our understanding is that at your next meeting, December 18th, We will have representatives from the Economic Development Division to talk about both land banking and tax increment financing at the same meeting. And then the January meeting, we do have a commitment from Building Inspection to prepare an overview of possibilities for pre-approved plans. So those are sort of the three things that the committee has mentioned recently. There may be other items that are referred to this committee, but that's our plan for now for December and January.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Seeing no other hands or discussion on this item, we can move to adjournment. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Tarby.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a
Second.
second? I think Alder Ohowitz gave a second there. Yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I really want to thank staff here. This was a lot of material to get through and to keep us on track. Thank you, everyone, for your attention. Thank you to the public for participating in the conversation today and for weighing in and sharing your perspectives. I believe we are adjourned as of 5:56 p.m. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.